It's time for the SwampSwamiSports.com audio podcast.
It's back. College football week number one just finished. And what just happened? First, let's celebrate the return of college football this past weekend. Welcome back. Even if those 100 degree days continue here in my neck of the woods, September is finally here. And that means the start of college football season and the hope, please, of some cooler weather soon. Yes, the vast majority of the top-rated teams started their 2023 season with a tune-up game against some lesser competition. In a race for pinball game supremacy, the Oregon Ducks put up 81 points on Saturday. Coming in a second-place tie were the Oklahoma Sooners, a team with a history of running up the score, and the Ole Miss Rebels. Each of them tallied 73 points apiece in their Week 1 victories. The only people impressed by those numbers, as usual, were the East Coast pollsters. The Ducks, the Sooners, and the Rebels have all moved up two spots in this week's newest AP Don't You Dare Buy It football rankings. But I do salute a few of the major college football teams for actually playing a competitive game in week number one. And that's why it's nearly impossible to gauge the strength of college football teams until they've played at least four football games. My annual SwampSwamiSports.com College Football Top 25 rankings will not be published until the first few days of October. We need to sort out this stuff. There are some clear trends, though, emerging in college football already, with some teams making greater use of the NCAA's transfer portal and those cash payments in a now legal but shady name, image, and likeness NIL rules for college athletes. The landscape in college football is quickly changing. The traditional powers of football over the last few decades are going to have a much harder time staying at the top both this season and in the years to come. Examples? Look no further than Colorado, Texas State, and Duke to see how it's now being done. The Colorado Buffaloes were 20-point underdogs on Saturday when they traveled to number 17 TCU for their first game of the year. The Buffs, you see, were 1-11 last year, while TCU was the national runner-up in the championship game, losing to Georgia. Though TCU did lose a few key starters, the Horned Frogs were at home in Fort Worth, Texas for their opening game against the Buffs. After Colorado hired former NFL star Deion Sanders in the offseason, the new head football coach effectively told most of last year's football team, "Hey, you're not good enough to play for me." Many voluntarily left the team, while the new coach did not renew some scholarships for some of the other players. And by the way, the NCAA allows a total of 85 scholarship players for their upper division or BCS level schools. So in the first game of 2023, Colorado's football roster featured an astounding 53 transfer players. Woo! With the NCAA's lax transfer portal rules, though, the players are able to wave their hands and effectively say, "Pick me, coach. I'm looking for a new team this year." And Colorado's new head coach, Deion Sanders, also imported several players from his former employer at Jackson State University. One key transfer for Colorado was former Jackson State quarterback Shadur Sanders. That name sound familiar? It's because it's the coach's son, is now the Colorado Buffaloes starting quarterback. And he had quite an impressive first game playing for Colorado last Saturday. Playing on the road in his FBS debut contest, Shadur Sanders passed for a school record 510 yards and four touchdowns in leading the Buffaloes to an exciting 45-42 shootout win over TCU. The junior quarterback connected on more than 80% of his passes, with four receivers collecting more than 100 yards apiece for the Buffaloes. Now this week, Colorado was voted into the Associated Press Top 25 at number 22. And it's a fitting tribute to the incredible turnaround in this football program, which has occurred in just a matter of months. Good job, Buffs. Let's see if you can keep it going. Now this Saturday, a familiar football foe rolls into Boulder for the Buffs' first home game of the season. Nebraska and Colorado were both members of the Big 8 Conference a long time ago. And last weekend, Nebraska melted down in the final minutes of their opening game in a final second loss to Minnesota. Big Red would love nothing better than to show up in Boulder this Saturday and spoil the home debut of Coach Deion Sanders this weekend. Another highlight game this weekend was the Sun Belt's Texas State Bobcats pummeling Big 12 Baylor. Last season, the FCS, the small division, Incarnate Word football team in San Antonio, Texas, surprised nearly everyone. That team finished 12-2 and made it into the national semifinal playoff round before losing to perennial power North Dakota State. After the season ended, the team's first-year head coach, G.J. Kinney, received a higher-paying offer from a school located just 1 hour to the north on I-35 in San Marcos at Sun Belt Conference FBS member Texas State University. Now, Texas State has been historically bad in football. For the past 8 years, the Bobcats have not won more than 4 games in any season. The team's new 34-year-old head coach, though, who is a former quarterback for the University of Tulsa, immediately hit the NCAA's transfer portal, and he added 41 new players, including 9 of them who followed the coach from Incarnate Word in San Antonio. Meanwhile, the Baylor Bears were coming off a disappointing 6-7 season. 1 year earlier, head coach Dave Aranda's team had finished 12-2. Though expectations for Baylor were not exactly sky-high this year in 2023, Saturday's first game against Texas State, the Bears were favored by 27 points at home in Waco. Oops, what happened? One of Texas State's transfer battalion was quarterback T.J. Finley. LSU fans may remember Finley as a one-and-done freshman player in Baton Rouge who then decided to take his talents to Auburn. After new Auburn head coach Hugh Freeze arrived on the plains this year, T.J. Finley answered the call from Texas State, and he's now playing for his 3rd college football team in his career. Finley passed for 298 yards and 3 touchdowns, though, to lead unheralded Texas State to a convincing 42-31 win over Baylor last Saturday. It was the first win in Texas State history over a team from a so-called Power 5 conference. Nice job, Bobcats. Another example, Duke is on the way up, while Clemson just blew a tire.
Sell, sell, sell.
On Labor Day Monday, the unranked Duke Blue Devils brought 8 new scholars into their football program for its nationally televised game with No. 9 ranked Clemson. And the difference on the field for Duke was noticeable. 5th-year defensive back Miles Jones, who transferred in from Texas A&M, and Al Blades Jr., formerly from the University of Miami, both played a big role in Duke's 28-7 upset win over Clemson Monday night. Second-year head coach Mike Elko's Blue Devils capitalized on several untimely Clemson mistakes, some fumbles, and short missed field goals, and then pulled away from the Tigers late in the game. With this win, Duke entered the Associated Press Top 25 this week at number 21. Perennial national contender Clemson played with a lack of focus and intensity in this opening game against Duke. Clemson had 12 more first downs than the Blue Devils, but was outscored by 21 points. That's where it counts. The Tigers passed and rushed for more than 200 yards each, and prior to the loss, Clemson had been a perfect 108-0 when accomplishing 200 yards passing and 200 yards on the ground. Well, no longer. Clemson's just dropped from number 9 to number 25 in this week's Associated Press football poll. Dazed and confused Clemson fans are now calling for Coach Dabo Swinney's head after the loss to Duke on Monday night. And finally, lest we forget, the LSU Tigers were scalped by Florida State in the second half on Sunday evening. In a very rare Sunday evening college football game, the preseason number 5 LSU Tigers traveled to Orlando, Florida for a matchup with number 8 Florida State. Now, twice in the first half, LSU opted not to kick field goals when they were deep in scoring territory. And in both cases, LSU failed to convert on fourth down and turned the ball over to Florida State. But despite those 2 misfires in the first half, LSU took a 17-14 halftime lead into the locker room. Unfortunately for Tiger fans, the second half was still to come. LSU looked dazed and confused during the final 2 quarters against Florida State. The Seminoles came out and scored 31 straight points in the second half before LSU finally located the end zone in the final minutes of play. Florida State's 45-24 win proved that the Seminoles are for real and that the preseason hype about LSU, a little bit premature. The normally reserved head coach of the Tigers, Brian Kelly, said last week on his radio show in Baton Rouge that LSU was going to win this game. Kelly uncharacteristically said, quote, "We're going to beat the heck out of Florida State." Well, there's nothing quite like a 45-24 embarrassment on national television to bring a football team and their head coach back down to earth. LSU now dropped to a generous ranking, I think, of number 14 after that loss. Florida State moved up four spots from number 8 to number 4 after a dominating second-half performance. Along with Clemson's loss to Duke, the Seminoles have now grabbed the mantle of team to beat in the Atlantic Coast Conference early this year. For LSU, finding a running game as soon as possible is now a priority. The LSU running backs accounted for just 54 yards against Florida State. And if you take away a 35-yard run by Josh Williams away from those stats, the LSU running backs averaged a meager 1.6 yards per carry against the Seminoles. So in summary, what did we just learn in week number one? Number one, preseason polls are for fools. Right, number 5 LSU and number 9 Clemson? Number 2, the NCAA's transfer portal is causing seismic shifts in talent distribution this season. Number 3, coaches can be underrated, like at Colorado and Texas State, or overrated, such as Clemson's and LSU's coaches. And in the eyes of fans, the coaches can go from a hero to zero in no time at all. Number 4, Florida State is a legitimate national contender this season. They have all the ingredients, the talent, experience, and coaching to be a really good team all season long. And number 5, LSU and Clemson now must win every remaining game on their schedule the rest of the season to have any chance at all of making the college football playoff. I just wouldn't count on it. I'm Swamp Swami.